Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many things you've already blessed us with this day. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we study to understand it, apply it in the right way, and draw closer to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word future, we'll turn to Genesis chapter 12. We see here a promise of future blessings, not only to Abram, who later is called Abraham, but also to all the world. As it reads here in Genesis chapter 12, pick it up here in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That last statement there, of in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, was definitely a look into the future. A look into the eventual birth of Jesus Christ by way of the bloodline of Mary that can be traced all the way back to Abram. In that we see the prophecy and the fulfillment there with the birth of Jesus Christ. Of course, the Father of Jesus Christ is God the Father. The Holy Ghost come upon Mary. And Mary's descendants, you can see that recorded over in the Gospel of Luke. And they go all the way back to Abram here and further, of course. All right, but let's now turn to Genesis chapter 16. And here we see some more prophecies concerning the descendants of Abraham that have not been a benefit to the whole world, that are still today a problem for the whole world, as we get into it here in Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now we had just read the prophecy that Abram was going to be a great nation and so forth, that he's going to have a bunch of kids, basically. And he hadn't had any kids, and they were getting impatient. They were told that they were going to have children, and they hadn't, so they decided to do things themselves to force the fulfillment of the prophecy. So we see how this unfolds. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Notice how quickly Abraham did this. Was it because he wanted to please his wife? Or he took an opportunity to do something that he had a desire to do already? We don't know. But we know that the actions of both of them was contrary to the will of the Lord. He did not want them to go against what he had told them. He didn't want them to try to initiate and fulfill a prophecy that was given to them. It was the Lord's place to do that, and they got impatient. So they go ahead and set this up, that Abram sleep with Hagar, get her pregnant, as we see this further unfold. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was displeased in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy made is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. This was a pretty sad testimony on the part of Abram and Sarai both, to be treating Hagar in such an abusive way. As it continues, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So Hagar has a child named Ishmael, an illegitimate child by Abram. And this was told to her, that that's what the future would hold, and it came to be, prophesied and fulfilled. But note the description down here in verse 12, where it reads, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now this is a prophecy of the descendants of Ishmael. And if we look at the family tree of Ishmael, we know that all the Arabs, including the Muslims, are descendants of Ishmael. We can look through all the history, all the way back to the birth of Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael, and the way they behaved and are continuing to behave. And the description here is accurate, where he says, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Right there in the mix of the Middle East, of course spread all over the world today, and definitely causing disturbance and against everyone with this Islam religion and the behaviors of the Muslims through the centuries. And it goes back even before the Muslims, of course. And we can see that it was prophesied that that would be the future because of the actions of Sarai and Abram. The world today is still suffering from the descendants of Ishmael. And we can see from this that our actions have consequences that can go way into the future. That what we do, what we say, what we participate in, our behavior can influence things in the future. The misbehaving of Sarai and Abram in doing this to Hagar, and Hagar having this child, and then all the descendants and all of the chaos, all the destruction, all the wars, all the death, all the persecution, perpetuated upon generation after generation since the birth of Ishmael, all because of the misbehaving of Sarai and Abram. So we got to really know that when we do something, that it can have a ripple effect for centuries to come. All right, now let's look at a dream that was given to Pharaoh, and the interpretation of that dream by Joseph in Egypt. As we can pick this up here in Genesis chapter 41. This reads, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now this time reference here, and given this 2 full years, is 2 full years of the imprisonment of Joseph, falsely accused and imprisoned, and been there for 2 years. As he continues, verse 2, And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine, or cattle, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. This was a dream that Pharaoh had, not understanding it, not knowing it. But it was about the future. As it continues, and he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, seeing I do remember my faults this day, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. Now here we see a reminder of what had happened to the butler. Butler was in prison with Joseph, as well as this chief baker, and had been around Joseph and learned what kind of a person he was. As it continues here. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. That was the two dreams that he had interpreted to the two. Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Awesome statement by Joseph. Joseph didn't take credit for being something spectacular and magical or wise. No, he gave all the credit for the interpretation of those dreams of the other two that were prisoners to the Lord. Just as we always need to give all the credit for all of our skills and abilities to the Lord, because they are blessings given to us by the Lord. And this was specific revelation given to Joseph from the Lord concerning these dreams. Verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. and the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Gave him a look into the future through these dreams, even though he himself could not interpret them, but Joseph was going to reveal them by the power of the Lord. As he continues, the seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one, and the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn unto the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and they made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. All that given to Joseph, because he did the work that the Lord had given him the opportunity and ability to do, and that was to interpret those dreams that Pharaoh had. Dreams of the future. And he was rewarded for doing that. And we can see how the Lord can communicate to even the ungodly out there, even the non-believers, even the pagans. He can communicate to them. He gave this pagan, ungodly person a dream of the future. Many have speculated and considered the possibility of being able to interpret dreams all through the centuries, and some have boasted that they have that ability and try to take credit for themselves when they are given a revelation of an understanding of a dream. But Joseph did it right. The Lord gave him an understanding of the dream, And he was rewarded for it, rewarded greatly for it. All right, now let's look at some more prophecy that is given to Moses over in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. A prophecy of the future given to Moses, the appointment of him having that awesome position of being the one in charge of taking care of this message, going to Pharaoh, and eventually this come to be. Of course, we know the plagues that had to come upon Egypt and the conflict and so forth, the struggle that it was, but it did occur. It was fulfilled, and they came out of Egypt and journeyed all the way back to the Promised Land. Going by way of the wilderness, filtering out some of the non-believers, some challenges along the way, but many things fulfilled in these prophecies, many things that we can still see today, the children of Israel given the Promised Land, still there today, and this was fulfilled prophecy. It goes all the way back to the prophecy that was given to Abram about going to that land. And now the children of Israel returning to that land once again after being in Egypt for about 400 years, now returning back to the land, which, you know, some could argue they should have never left to begin with, but they did when Joseph was the second place ruler in Egypt and the famine and so forth. Many people came to Egypt at that time because of the famine. That's how the children of Israel wound up back over in Egypt. But they wound up becoming oppressed by future pharaohs that came in after the death of the pharaoh that Joseph dealt with. So we see various events of the past there, prophecies that were given and fulfilled, prophecies that are still being fulfilled today, things about the future that was given to them in the past. Thus we can take confidence in all the prophecies of the Word of God. There are so many in here, as I have spoke when we began this, that we could spend many years speaking of all the various prophecies that are in the Bible concerning the future. But if we'll skip about here and there and look at various ones and see that we can trust all of them and know that the future that the Lord has prophesied for all of us that are true believers in Him is a wondrous future. As we can see the many, many prophecies given and fulfilled, and we can take confidence once again of what we have to look forward to as truly born-again Christians. And it's going to be wondrous, way beyond what we could possibly imagine, far more than we deserve, that's for sure. But that's loving God that we serve. And let's know that the future is there for us, and that we can share that with others out there. To tell others the accuracy of the Bible, these historical events that were recorded in the Word of God, these fulfilled prophecies that we see, and it gives us that confidence in what we have to look forward to. So much ahead of us. And let's have a glorious future by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and be looking forward to way more than we deserve. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh, so much for the things that you have recorded for us to be able to study, that build our confidence and trust in you and in your Word, and that confidence in knowing what we have to look forward to as born-again Christians, the many blessings you have laid out for us, the many glorious things that are to come. Help that encourage us to get out and share that with others out there in the world as well, so they can be looking forward to that wondrous future you have laid out for all of us true believers. Thank you, oh, so much for the blessings, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.